From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? It is Thursday. Yes, you just got this day and tomorrow, and then, hey, you get to max and relax for the weekend, okay? But we are so glad, as always, that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Folks, we got a lot to talk about. I don't know if you guys have been checking your Twitter or your sports updates or just your headlines in general, but the Detroit Tigers have made some moves that everyone is talking about. And I agree with all the moves. I think they are making moves in the right direction here, folks. We will discuss the Detroit Tigers trades all happening today, folks. Big stuff there. Also, we'll talk about Ndamukong Suh and the future of him. Will he stay with the Lions or will he go? He made some comments talking about his future yesterday. And yes, it's Thursday, and each and every Thursday, we like to hop inside of our Current Sports time machine and take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. And the NFL makes changes to conduct policy. We'll chat about all of that and so much more. Again, folks, if you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything we talk about today, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But let's start the show like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this December 11th. All right, here we are, folks. Again, these are your Current Sports quick headliners for this December 11th. All right, Pat Narduzzi, folks, Michigan State defensive coordinator and assistant head coach Pat Narduzzi was the seventh highest paid assistant coach in college football and number one in the Big Ten. And Michigan State ranked third in the Big Ten in overall assistant coach pay, according to a USA Today report released today. Now, Narduzzi's pay of $907,000. I tell you what, according to the report, that's his solid base salary right there. And, you know, it just edged out Michigan defensive coordinator Greg Madison, who made $888,000, according to the report. Now, MSU's next highest paid assistant is co-offensive coordinator Dave Warner, ranked 23rd with a salary of $382,000. He was followed immediately by MSU co-offensive coordinator Jim Bowman at $368,000. Man, it must be nice. All right, Wisconsin coach Gary Anderson is leaving the school after two seasons to take the head coaching job at Oregon State. Now, Anderson replaces Mike Riley, who left the Beavers this month after 14 seasons to take the head job at Nebraska. Now, Oregon State announced the news on Twitter yesterday afternoon. All right, the Detroit Tigers have been moving and shaking, folks. They have agreed to acquire another slugger for their lineup, landing outfielder Yoenis Cespedes from the Boston Red Sox in exchange for starting pitcher Rick Porcello. Now, the Detroit Tigers also announced just minutes ago that they have acquired right-handed pitcher Alfredo Simon from the Cincinnati Reds in exchange for infielder Eugenio Suarez and right-handed pitcher Jonathan Crawford. Now, they will also obtain minor league pitcher Alex Wilson and another player in the deal. Cespedes, who was traded from the Oakland A's to Boston at the trade deadline last season, will add some punch to a lineup that is anchored by two-time AL MVP Miguel Cabrera. The 29-year-old Cespedes has a .263 career batting average with 71 homers and 262 RBIs in his three major league seasons. All right, the Red Wings. Mike Santorelli scored Toronto's second goal in the tiebreaker, and the Maple Leafs beat the Red Wings 2-1 on Wednesday night. Detroit outshot Toronto 40-16 in regulation, but went to overtime after missing on several good chances, including three breakaways. Pavel Datsyuk had the best opportunity, but a shot high late in the first did not find the back of the net. Now, the loss dropped the Red Wings to 1-4 in shootouts this season. All right, Ndamukong Suh said Wednesday that he might not be the one making the decision on where he plays after this season. He says, quote, "It'll be Jimmy's decision, so we'll go with that." Now, he also went to say, you can just call Jimmy. So Jimmy, that he's referring to, is Suh's agent, Jimmy Sexton, whom he signed with in the offseason after his firing of his old agent, which was a part of Relativity Sports. Now, whenever Sue has been asked about his contract this season or even dollar amounts he might be looking for, he has been consistent in saying, ask Jimmy. So, I guess we got to ask Jimmy where Sue is going to be next year, because we just don't know right now. All right, the NFL owners Wednesday unanimously approved a revised personal conduct policy. Commissioner Roger Goodell announced. Now, the new policy takes effect immediately. Among the key changes are: the policy embraces the use of independent investigations. To that end, the NFL will hire a special counsel for investigations and conduct who will oversee initial discipline. It will also implement an element of leave with pay during investigations of people charged with violent crimes. And the commissioner will maintain a role in the appeals process, but may also appoint a panel of independent experts to participate in deciding an appeal. All right, the Georgetown Hoyas became the latest athletes and the first in college basketball to don the I Can't Breathe t-shirts in support of Eric Garner, who was killed, of course, in July after police officer placed him in a chokehold during an arrest for selling loose cigarettes. They wore them before Wednesday night's 75-70 loss to number 10 Kentucky. And the New York Knicks teammates, Carmelo Anthony and Tim Hardaway Jr. Tim Hardaway, of course, a former guard for the Michigan men's basketball team. They denied Wednesday that they have a poor relationship in response to a report earlier in the day by ESPN the magazine's Chris Broussard. Anthony and Hardaway confirmed that they had argued during last week's loss to the Brooklyn Nets, but said the spat was just a reflection of their relationship. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick and headliners. Folks, our phone lines are now open. All right, ladies and gents, and the number to call in if you want to weigh in on any of the discussion that we have today on current sports, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there, and if you do, I will read it live here on the air at Current Sports. You can also tweet me at AlMartinWKAR, and I will read your tweets live here on the air. All right, I want to remind you all that since it is Thursday, folks, we got a brand new, fresh, hot out the box Current Sports TV for you, okay? I'm sitting down with Rob Smith, who is the head girls basketball coach over at East Lansing High School. If you know anything about Rob Smith, I mean, he is one of the best girls basketball coaches from around this area. He's been coach of the year. He's won a state championship. I mean, he's had a 76 game win streak when it comes to the CAAC Blue Conference. Of course, it was snapped last year, but what a ride that was. So Rob Smith knows what he's doing, folks. He is such a nice guy, but a fiery guy on the court. So Rob sits down with me on tonight's Current Sports TV, and I get to pick his brain, and a few of you did as well. I mean, because we always on our social media pages at facebook.com/currentsports and my Twitter page at AlMartinWKAR. We encourage you guys to leave comments or leave any questions that you may have for Rob this week. And you guys had some very interesting questions, to say the least, for Rob. So I threw a few of them at him, and again, he handled it like a pro, I tell you. So that's going to be a great episode. Again, that's tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. If you happen to go to sleep before 10, hey, make sure you DVR. You do not want to miss this one, folks. It's going to be a fun one. All right. Also, I want to remind you all that tomorrow we'll be giving away tickets to the MSU hockey game against Clarkson that will be taking place this weekend. And if you're going to that game in general, Michigan State Athletics is asking you all to purchase or bring to the game, I should say, a brand new stuffed animal. And on Michigan State's first goal that they scored during that game, they're encouraging you guys to just heave them right onto the ice. And those will be donated to a few local Lansing charities for children who are less fortunate. So that's going to be a fun time, folks. So going out to that. But we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to that Michigan State and Clarkson game. So you'll want to tune into tomorrow's show. Also, we'll be giving tickets away to, of course, the Michigan State and Oakland men's basketball game that takes place on Sunday night at 8 p.m. So you want to tune in and find out how you can win a pair of tickets to either go see the MSU men's hockey team or the men's basketball team. And folks, tomorrow's also going to be a great show as we invite Tony Lippitt. I just got a text from him not too long ago, and Tony Lippitt will be with us on the show tomorrow. He is Michigan State's MVP for the football year. He has been fantastic. He was a finalist for the Biletnikoff Award, which goes to the nation's top receiver. He's arguably the best wide receiver in the Big Ten this year. So I'll be picking Tony's brain and talking about his thoughts on the upcoming Cotton Bowl and so much more, so you don't want to miss that as well. So it's going to be a hot show. But folks, we got a hot show for you today. And before we dive into all of the Detroit Tigers trade talks, I wanted to mention this. We have one extended headliner here. Now, you guys know Floyd Mayweather, right? Floyd Mayweather is the most famous boxer on planet Earth. And, he's been making money left and right. His nickname is Money Mayweather, for goodness sakes. He's broken just about every pay-per-view record that you can in the world of boxing. So everybody knows Floyd Mayweather. He's actually from right here in Michigan as well, from Grand Rapids. But anyway, it was an interesting story that came out that actually TMZ Sports broke earlier this week. And Floyd Mayweather may have just been a witness to a very, very heinous and just ugly murder, folks. Floyd Mayweather, he whipped his friend Earl Hayes into a frenzy over Earl Hayes' wife's infidelity, or supposed infidelity, to the point that Hayes sadly gunned her down, folks. So now the LAPD wants to sit the boxer down for questioning. And again, TMZ broke the story. Floyd was actually on FaceTime. For now, for those of you who don't know what FaceTime is, it's actually an app on the iPhone where If somebody else has another iPhone, you can call them and you can video chat them. That's what they call it, FaceTime. You're getting some FaceTime with the other person on the phone. So Floyd was FaceTiming his friend Earl Hayes. This happened on Monday morning when shots were fired. Now, Floyd was telling Hayes, this is what TMZ is being told. Floyd was actually telling Hayes that he should leave his wife, Stephanie Mosley, who is a well-known backup dancer. For those who watch VH1, she was on the VH1 hit show, Hit the Floor. But Floyd said, hey, Hayes, you got to leave her because she's bad for your career. Now, Hayes was very distraught over what he believed was, repeated infidelity from Stephanie. And it really got him riled up. It was a said rumor that she was dating the popular R&B artist Trey Songz. But Mayweather, again, Floyd challenged Hayes, saying that he was weak for not leaving her. At that point, as Floyd was on FaceTime, Hayes went off and said he was going to gun down Stephanie. And then TMZ was told that when the boxer realized that Hayes was going to shoot Stephanie, he begged Hayes not to go through with it. And then law enforcement officers say that Hayes went into the bathroom and fired 10 to 12 shots. 10 to 12 shots as Stephanie was taking a bath. Oh, boy, that's ugly. All right, now neighbors heard the shots. They called LAPD and cops rushed to the scene. But when they got to the door, they heard another shot and retreated. And the shot, that final shot, was Hayes taking his own life. Alex, have you heard this story? Because this story was one that, when I first heard about it, it hit me because I actually have seen the show Hit the Floor, and I knew exactly who they were talking about. I'm like, whoa, how does that have a connection with Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah, no, I did see that. I saw the TMZ. Oh. I saw the leak online. What a horrible thing that must be for Floyd, man. You gotta pull for the guy, regardless if you're not a fan of his cockiness and his ego and all that. You got to pull for a situation to witness something like that.
Yeah.
That is inhumane.
It is, man. And, it's just one of those lessons. I mean, we've seen so many instances of domestic violence, especially in the world of sports as of recently. And, it's one of those things where, I always say, a relationship, no matter what type of relationship that is, maybe be your wife, maybe be your girlfriend or boyfriend and so on and so forth, your husband, a relationship should not reach the point where you lose your mind if you suspect something is going on and rocking the boat a little bit. Healthy relationships are so, I advocate for them so, they're so important because you should not get to the point where you become suicidal or to the point where you become crazed over what that other individual is doing. If you feel yourself getting to that point, folks, it is time to exit that relationship no matter how hard it can be, because it can lead, to some bad things down the road. So, you know, you got to find a distraction in life. Find a hobby, you know, to get your mind off of that significant other. Because if you are getting to that point where you're crazed over that other individual, it may be time for you to exit. And it's to prevent a situation like this. But again, domestic violence is becoming so big and big. You're starting to see the campaigns on television left and right that are advocating against domestic violence. You're starting to see a big push in different areas in sports, such as the NFL and their campaigns for it, the NBA, just different areas in the sporting realm. And you know, this is interesting because yesterday the NFL, and we're going to get to this discussion later on in the hour, the NFL is changing and has changed its conduct policy on how they deal with issues such as domestic violence and other socially sensitive issues like that. So interesting how they ran it down. I loved it, and we're going to give you the specifics as to what exactly the NFL is changing. All right, folks, again, if you want to call in on anything that we talk about today, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's start our show.
How's your day going so far, man?
Oh, my day's good. My day's good. Yeah. I immediately wanted to just start the show there, day's good,
and
man.
That's the thing. And I was going to say, you know, I'm doing well. My finals are over. You know, here in Michigan State, the students are really excited.
Yeah.
But on top of it, you have the most exciting day of the year, one of the most exciting days of the year in sports today. And that kind of kicks off our show, and that's MLB Winter Meetings.
Right.
What's going on? Did you know Matt Kemp got traded today? That's underlying all of this news.
I did not. Where's Matt going?
Padres, man. Padres.
I had no idea. I did not see that.
So that's the thing is, with all this Tigers news that we're about to get into in a second, there's so much that gets ignored today. You're missing all the big deal. Both of us, Al, and listeners... You're probably not even in tune to what is going on at this very second. There might be a deal made at this very second.
That is so true.
It's an exciting time.
Yeah, a lot of moves are being made in the MLB. And as you said, I mean, the Tigers have made some moves that I really like today. I really like the moves that the Tigers made today. And folks, again, if you're just now joining us, the Detroit Tigers, they have actually agreed to acquire another slugger for their lineup. Again, they landed outfielder Yoenis Cespedes from the Boston Red Sox in exchange for starting pitcher Rick Porcello. Again, the Tigers also acquired right-handed pitcher Alfredo Simon from the Cincinnati Reds in exchange for infielder Eugenio Suarez and right-handed pitcher Jonathan Crawford. They will also obtain minor league pitcher Alex Wilson and another player in this whole fiasco. So, interesting stuff here, Alex, because when this move was made, first off about Yoenis Cespedes, I really like this move because you helped that outfield that was so mediocre at best last season when you had J.D. Martinez, you even had Rajay Davis out there, and Anthony Goss. I mean, and when you look at those three guys, when Detroit, if you remember the crazy moment that happened for the Tigers when they traded Austin Jackson, of course, and Austin goes out and you sit there like, okay, they get another, you know, another big pitcher in this whole deal. But at the end of the day, the Tigers are lacking defense, and they are lacking productivity in that outfield. So now you get Yoenis Cespedes, a guy who can play the outfield, a guy who's also a big bat who can hit, because everybody knows. I mean, Detroit struggled at times to find consistent hitting throughout an entire year last year. That was something that was also absent. And for the Tigers now, you kind of get the best in both worlds when you acquire Cespedes. I really like this move. What were your initial thoughts about it?
My initial thoughts, and I'm looking at Twitter right now, I'm seeing what people are saying in their thoughts on Cespedes. The reaction when you first think is, wow, right? You acquire a big name. You're probably thinking before you find it's Porcello, wow, the Tigers must have given a lot to get this guy. And when you look at the overall deal, it's pretty much straight up when you look at it. It's basically Cespedes for Porcello. And to be honest with you, in the short term of things, for the Tigers' goal to win a World Series, you have to love it. You have to love it as a Tigers fan. However, the long-term goal in keeping a legacy going, you're losing one of your younger pitchers here in Porcello, in your starting five. And for me, as much as Justin Verlander and Scherzer have pitched magnificently this year, you're still losing your future in Rick Porcello.
Yeah.
Because as much as, yeah, you get your bat, you get your need, long-term, after JV, and if Scherzer even comes back, but after JV, Anibal's now getting the 30 mark past that, Price doesn't have that much of a timeline left. Once those guys are done, you're rebuilding from scratch. And the thing that I loved about Porcello, he was still in his early to mid-20s where he had some time. he still was still not just going through the strides, but he had his arm still there. I mean, he's not losing the velocity like for Verlander. So you lose that youth and that rotation there. So now you're kind of going with this veteran rotation by acquiring Alfredo Simone. Still, granted, a great player. Big Pasta is his nickname, Al. Don't know if you know that.
Big Pasta. Big Pasta. Wow, I'll have some fun with that one.
So, the deal overall, I think, is great for what the Tigers are going to do. Just to start.
Yeah, and you know what? When it was announced that the Tigers had acquired Cespedes, I said to myself, okay, you got to be giving up somebody here. And they gave up Rick Porcello. Again, you're losing a quality starting pitcher in Rick Porcello, folks.
Al, more than again, quality. This was a Cy Young candidate.
Yeah, he was great. Rick Porcello was fantastic. He actually had his best season last year. He had a 3.43 ERA, went 15-13, I believe, threw a major league high, 3 shutouts. Rick Porcello was fantastic and arguably your most consistent pitcher last year. So you're giving up Porcello, you're bringing in Cespedes, and I said when this move is made, when you give up a guy like Rick Porcello, there has to be another move being made here later on today for the Tigers to help that starting pitching rotation, and it was. Acquiring Simone, a guy that I don't know too much about. He was actually on your fantasy team, Alex, but you said, I mean, he's a guy who can come in, he can give you some quality starts, he can go, he's very durable. And if you look at, and talk about durable too, Rick Porcello, how durable was he? Rick Porcello's a guy who was never on a disabled list. He
That's
was
right.
never on a DL, you know? And it was really interesting how this move was made. But again, for the Tigers, a team who now, for years to come now, the expectation for this team is to go to a World Series and compete and win one. Sometimes you have to give up something good in order to become great. I always say that. You got to make sacrifices because obviously the formula that you had last year was not working. You didn't have a solid, defense hurt you, the bullpen hurt you, and solid, consistent hitting at bat hurt you. Those things needed to be plugged and fixed, and I think this is a move in that right direction. Sometimes you got to forgive them something good to become great, folks, and I think this may be one of those moves. Now, again, with this move, though, with Alfredo Simone from the Cincinnati Reds, I haven't seen much of him, but from what I'm reading, he is a guy who can step in. He won't be Rick Porcello, folks, so I want to get that out there. He won't be a Rick Porcello consistent type of – it'll be hard for him to live up to the expectations. It's live up to play that Rick Porcello gave the Tigers. But he will be, I think, solid for this team. Alex, am I wrong?
He'll be very solid for this team, man. And the great thing about it is with the relief need, let's say Scherzer decides to come back to the Tigers. So if Scherzer comes back, you've got Verlander, Price, Scherzer – Anibal Sanchez, in that fifth spot, you can rotate between Shane Green. You can maybe even throw Simone in there. But the thing about Simone is, if that fifth spot goes to Shane, then you have him as a relief pitcher. With his time in Cincy, he pitched relief. He was a durable starter for 7-8 innings, but he also could go back as a middle relief pitcher and pitch a solid 3-4 innings. He did it a lot of times. I saw the results from it fantasy-wise, Al. So you got to love this deal because of the flexibility that you have with Simone. And then the Tigers, getting guys like Don Kelly and what you have with Dierks, and you had guys that played numerous positions before, they like that. They need that durability and that flexibility with players. So, especially with pitching, this is really good for them. And when they had Dontrell Willis, granted how much he fell off, he had a little bit of that flexibility too. He was able to do a little bit of relief pitching for him. He was a relief pitcher even before he got there. Yeah. So, that's why I really like the deal with Simone, because you can kind of throw him wherever you need him. He'll be solid. Yeah, he's a little bit older, but he still has the performance to show for it. I know you have researched some things, Alan. You found some information about Simone that isn't too hot, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was interesting because I looked at it, and you talk about off-the-field issues here. It looks as though he was accused of sexual assault in Washington, D.C. back in April of 2013. Now, prosecutors decided not to bring criminal charges after an investigation, but the following April, the woman filed a civil lawsuit against Simone under a postmortem Jane Doe, seeking $5 million in compensatory damages and $10 million in punitive damages. So at the time, again, Simone's lawyer, Jack Quinn, he told USA Today Sports that the allegations are totally baseless. Mr. Simone will defend this matter fully and will be totally exonerated. Now, if it's one thing, I tell you what, the Tigers have relatively done if there is an off-the-field story, they've done a really relatively good job at protecting his players, and the players have done a good job of at conducting themselves in a manner that says, okay, that's none of your business. It's about what I do on the field. I mean, if you go back to the Justin Verlander, Kate Upton story, that didn't really – it didn't even really – it may have affected JV at the time it broke, but I tell you what, he said, hey, I'm not talking about that. That's my personal life. You know what I mean? Just kept it moving. So you don't like to see that or hear stories like that, especially in a new acquisition with somebody new coming to the team. You don't want it to be a distraction, but I don't think it will. This is the Detroit Tigers organization that we're talking about here. So overall, though, I give the Tigers – I'll give them an A-plus on this. I like the moves that they made. Now I think what they have to do, though, even though you could move Simone to that bullpen, Alex, I think they may have to make another move to beef up that bullpen even more. It's going to take more than one guy.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing is they did get some relief pitchers out of these deals, which we haven't talked about. You mentioned Alex Wilson. There are some other guys that were acquired earlier in this past fall that have also been relief pitchers to help in November. But like you said, you know, they met all their needs. The relief pitching and there is the number one area of concern that it has been. So you probably question if they're making a move, they're probably going back to relief pitching. Am I right?
Yeah, I think the next move you have to make now is to beef up that bullpen.
But overall,
a little bit.
What do you give the gray, man? For me, it's an A.
Yeah, it's an A for me, too.
It's
a solid A for me, too. I like it, and it shows that the Tigers still have that mentality like, hey, we got to win a World Series here. Yeah. They are still in that championship mindset.
Hey,
so.
And think about that lineup, man. You got Cabrera, yeah. V-Mart,
exactly.
Cespedes, and then J.D. Martinez.
Yeah.
That is more lethal than anything last year.
I'm telling you, man.
You still got Kinsler.
Yeah.
You have Jose Iglesias coming back.
Yeah.
That is a dangerous, dangerous lineup.
Again,
more than last year.
Yeah, this is a team that when you look at the roster, this is a team that, again, should compete for a World Series. And if they don't, if they fall below expectations next year as well, we'll be singing that same song like, okay.
The time span is running out.
Yeah, they're doomed now. Exactly. Folks, if you want to weigh in on anything we talk about on today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour, all the way up until 2 o'clock when the current sport sadly ends. But let's keep this train moving out, Alex. Now, Ndamukong Suh said Wednesday that he might not be the one making the decision on where he plays after this season with the Detroit Lions. Now, of course, after this year, his rookie contract will be up, and he will officially be a free agent, and he'll be on the market. And you better believe that a lot of teams throughout the NFL are going to test that market when it comes to Ndamukong Suh and try to woo him to their respective teams. Now, he said, quote, "It'll be Jimmy's decision, so we'll go with that. You can call Jimmy." Now, again, Jimmy is Sue's agent, Jimmy Sexton, whom he signed in the offseason after firing his old agency, Relativity Sports. Sue has been asked about his contract this season, or even dollar amounts he may be looking for when he tests that free agent market, but he has been consistent in saying, "Ask Jimmy." So, Alex, first off, I think the mere fact that Ndamukong Suh is coming out and saying, and not even addressing the possibility of coming back with the Lions and saying, "Just ask Jimmy," shows that he is very serious about testing the market and contemplating leaving this team. Because I tell you what, if you want to be somewhere, you come out and say it, and you preface it with saying, if things are right, if the situation is right, then, yeah, I probably will be back as a Lion. You at least say that, because we've seen countless athletes say that. But right in this moment, Ndamukong Suh is not even addressing the possibility of him wearing the Honolulu Blue next year, which shows me that Suh may be gone. I don't see anything. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, let's look at it this way. It's kind of like if, you ask if it's a kid, "Hey, Dad, what are we doing for dinner?" You say, talk to your mom, right? Go ask my wife. For him, it's like when I look at this Ndamukong Suh comment saying, "Talk to my agent," it's almost like, he doesn't really want to deal with this issue. And you just got done mentioning they don't want to talk about their personal life, in front of media and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is specifically personal, but I kind of feel him where he just wants to focus on the season and his game right now. And, you got to understand, when you're in that meeting, in that locker room, you get thrown with all kinds of questions. We saw Torrey Hunter get asked about his political stance with some senator, and you saw his response for that. He's like, I don't want to talk about that.
I think, though, when you look at Ndamukong Suh, I mean, this is about the team, though. I mean, Torrey Hunter's political views have nothing to do with the baseball team at all. And then, you know, you talk about Justin Verlander. I brought up him. I mean, what he does with Kate Upton has nothing to do with the team at all.
It's where,
but this is about his future of the team.
It's where he will play, but it's not about the team's about to be in the playoffs, Al.
I understand. Well, possibly still. I mean, it's still they got to win out. I think it's getting iffy. But I tell you what, with when it comes to Sue's future with the team, as a journalist, that is certainly a legitimate question to ask. And Sue, we've seen athletes address their free agent. I mean, even LeBron. Okay, let's go to LeBron James when he's talking about, during his last year with Miami. He was asked constantly throughout that last year where he was going to be. Where would he be next season? Would he return with the Miami Heat? And James said, okay, you know, if the situation's right, then, you know, possibly I'll be with the Heat. He at least addressed a possibility of staying with the team. Right now, Sue is just saying, hey, my agent's going to make that decision. You know what I mean? Like, not even giving the Lions fans and any Lions fan any type of hope in any sentence that he may be back
now,
next year.
If you're a Lions player in that locker room and you see these comments, how would you feel?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you know, sports is a business. Sports is a business. When it comes down to it, the pros is a business. Simple as that. And I think from that perspective, players understand that. And teammates understand that. Even though that, you know, there's many people on that team, there's many fans out there that will love Ndamukong Suh to continue wearing a Detroit Lions jersey, possibly throughout his entire career. Ndamukong Suh is that good. Even though many people hope that'll happen, at the end of the day, Suh has to do, and any player has to do, what is best for them. If there's another team out there that is a championship contender, that is a playoff contender out there, that is going to offer him more money than what the Lions are giving him, then yeah, as a man, as a person, you have to weigh that out and make a decision. And I wouldn't blame him if a team is offering him more moolah to go somewhere else. I wouldn't blame him if he left. Would I like Ndamukong Suh to stay? Who wouldn't? I mean, he's been playing unbelievable this season, Alex. He is playing on the Lions team, which has the top run defense in the entire NFL. Suh has actually 38 tackles, 5.5 sacks. He has been out of his mind this season, Alex. He is proving his worth. He is showing everyone, he is showing the league that he is worth moolah. And you better believe that a lot of teams are looking at this kid and saying, okay,
absolutely,
we would love to have him.
Yeah, he's trying to get that J.J. Watt money.
Yeah,
But he may not
get that much, but yeah, still, that's a lot of money that J.J. Watt is getting. But yeah, I feel you on that.
Yeah, but at the same time, if I'm a player and I see this out, I'm taking the other side. I'm a little disappointed because as much as, yeah, it's about the future next year, I'm still trying to not just, you know, focus in on that playoff grind right now. But you don't need any distractions at this point in the season.
Well, I think that with Sue, and you talk about distraction, I think Sue saying, talk to my agent, I think that alleviates the whole conversation, and now you got to play the waiting game. I don't think it becomes a distraction. Now, if Sue would have said, I'm looking at this team or that team, if whoever gives me the most money. If he expounded upon his comments and instead of just saying ask Jimmy, then I think it would have been more of a distraction than what it is right now, which I don't think it is.
Right. From a player standpoint, I say it's avoiding the distraction and the fan standpoint too. But if I'm Sue, what I'm saying here is I'm just going to be focused on the playoffs and the game right now. From a player standpoint, that's what I'd like to see. From a fan standpoint, I agree. You want to see some kind of hint that you might be playing in the Honolulu Blue. Might be, well, you know, if the situation works out well, then maybe. I'll look into that, talk to my agent. But for him to kind of deflect it here, that for me kind of turns me off.
Yeah.
And that for me is kind of where both sides, you'd like that ultimate situation. This, for me, for the player standpoint and the fan standpoint, it doesn't mean either one.
Yeah, if I had just my initial reaction as a fan of the Lions when we're reading that this morning, I'm saying to myself, I don't think Sue's coming back next
year. Right, but that's the thing, man.
Yeah.
There are so many ways he could have answered this. He didn't have to say, talk to my agent.
Right. Like, there are multiple ways.
There are more better ways to kind of not make this a big ESPN headline today in the midst of a playoff run, when there are tons of other NFL news going on.
Yeah, but, you know, I think if he would have answered this, it would have been a headline. If he says, you know, if the team offers me the right money, or if he would have expounded upon his comments further, I think it would have been a headline either way, because Sue is that good. He's become a face in the NFL now. So, all right, folks, again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Call on in. Give your thoughts on anything that we talk about today. After the break, we're going to have a lot of fun, folks. It's one of my favorite songs out there, folks. It's become a staple in the sports community. And we'll take a look back at it in just a moment, folks. We'll have Throwback Thursday coming right around the corner. Also, a big day for the greatest. Yes, Muhammad Ali. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host on this December 11th, Current Sports. Folks, I can't believe, man, Christmas is right around the corner. Alex, have you done your Christmas shopping? I have not even started.
No, me neither, man. But
I procrastinate so bad on that.
Yeah, how can you, though, with everything going on today?
It's so busy. I mean, with everything going from Michigan State, men's basketball and football. I mean, we're working. We're to the grindstone. We've been to the grindstone
it's
for a while
It's the Super Bowl
now.
Today for MLB, man. It's winter meetings.
Yeah,
you're getting deals left and right.
Left and right. A lot of chatter. A lot
Masterson
of chatter. A lot
gets
of moves.
Traded.
Yeah.
Dodgers and Padres. Kemp got dealed. D. Gordon got dealed. Do I need to go on? I mean, Matt Latos from the Cincinnati Reds, Simone. They're looking to trade away their whole pitching staff over there in Cincinnati, man. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, with all of that news, who can go Christmas shopping, right?
Howie Kendrick got traded. I mean, do I need to go on? It's
crazy. Going on.
The names today.
Crazy. A lot of stuff going on, folks. If you want to weigh in on all the moves that are being made in the MLB or with the Tigers, so on and so forth, 517-355-9527. Also, tweet me at AlMartinWKR or leave a comment at facebook.com/currentsports. We have actually a Twitter question that comes from our dedicated listener, TJ Segswade 40. TJ wants to know, will the Pistons win again before Christmas? That is a great question,
TJ. Why don't you
TJ.
Start that off?
Well, I just simply answer it and say, yeah, I think they will. I don't think, I mean, let's see. I have to bring up their schedule here. But, again, the Pistons have won, I believe they set a franchise record now with 13 straight losses. They got the Suns tomorrow. Which is a very good team. I don't see them winning against the Suns, so you may move that to 14. The Kings, Clippers, Mavericks, Raptors. Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay, I see where TJ is going with this because they play. These are all solid teams that the Pistons play up until December 21st, which is the last game they had before Christmas, and that's against the Brooklyn Nets. So I just can't see this. I mean, let's see. That'll be 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. That'll be 19 straight if they don't win before Christmas. 19 straight loss. I just can't see that happening.
The real question should be, will they win before next year?
Yeah. But even a shorter timeline, though, I think that's a good question by TJ. I mean, even before Christmas, they play that schedule is tough.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they do, and they get that win against the Sacramento Kings this Saturday.
Yeah. Against the Kings.
I say the Pistons beat the Kings this Saturday.
Yeah, Kings have been struggling a little bit. But, I think they'll get it done before the new year. I'm going to say no before Christmas.
No before Christmas. No. All right. Also, we got another one here, Alex, on our Twitter page. Tyler Beck, he wants to just randomly chime in on the Michigan football head coaching search. And he says, Al, man, anyone who says they know what's going on with the Michigan coaching search other than Jim Hackett is probably lying. Tyler, I totally agree with you on that because I think it's just so wide open right now. You're starting to see so many names. We talked about, you know, Cutcliffe yesterday from Duke possibly interviewing for the job, and there were conflicting reports where Michigan said no. I mean, we haven't even talked to him about the job. Nobody knows. I have no idea. I looked at today and I saw Desmond Howard of ESPN's College Game Day. He hopes that Jim Harbaugh, you know, the stars
Charles
align.
Charles Woodson was thrown in there.
Yeah, even Charles Woodson is saying, it's crazy right now. Nobody knows. We're just playing the waiting
Charles
game
Woodson
right now.
Charles Woodson's still playing in the NFL?
Yeah, exactly.
He's not going to pull a Jason Kidd? No. Come on.
Him as coach, too? Come on. Yeah, it makes no sense. That makes no sense whatsoever. But, yeah, I mean, I agree 120% with Tyler. Nobody knows. We can only just wait and just keep our eyes and ears peeled to see what happens. So I agree, Tyler. Good stuff there. Again, if you want to weigh in, just tweet me at AlMartinWKR. I will read your tweets just like I did TJ's and Tyler's just a minute ago. All right, well, it is Thursday, and it's one of my favorite segments throughout the entire week here on Current Sports where we take a trip back into sports history and take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. Folks, we dub it Throwback Thursday. Let's start it.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. She's gone!
All right, folks. Well, again, Throwback Thursday. I love that historical music. Very well done there, Alex. But again, Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at what has happened in sports history on this particular Thursday, December 11th, in sports history. Okay, well, let's start with 1951. Joe DiMaggio of the New York Yankees announced his retirement from Major League Baseball. Now, DiMaggio only played for the Yankees during his 13-year career. He is certainly a figure in sports and baseball and in Yankees history that is beloved. So on this day in 1951, he announced his retirement from Major League Baseball and from the New York Yankees. All right, 1971. The Los Angeles Lakers set an NBA record with 21 consecutive wins. Boy, I wish they could turn back the clock to 1971, or at least even 1999 or 2000, because right now that team is just bad. Kobe Bryant, I mean, he's trying every night to put on a one-man show to get this team somewhat into the playoff discussion, but it's pretty bad for the Lakers right now. But, you know, back to better times, 1971 in the LA Lakers. Again, 21 consecutive wins. That's impressive stuff. All right, 1972. The Miami Dolphins coach Don Shula was on the cover of Time magazine. How about that, Don Shula? He's a name that certainly pops up in many minds when it comes to great NFL coaches of all time. So he graced the cover of Time magazine in 1972. In 1992, the National Hockey League governors named Gary Bettman as the first NHL commissioner in league history, effective February 1st, 1993. In 2000, Mario Lemieux, owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins, announced that he would end his 3-plus-year retirement and become an active NHL hockey player again. How about that? So Mario Lemieux returning to the ice. When Lemieux returned officially, he became the first owner and player in NHL history.
I remember that, man. He was on the cover of every video game you could buy. Man, yeah. I still have my NHL 02 game with him on the cover. He was a phenomenal player.
How about that? An owner and a player. You know, yeah. There's been on the rumor mill that Michael Jordan will come back for a third time. I don't see that happening, though. I think
Claude, man. The Lemieux, man.
That's great stuff. All right, in 2001, it was announced that Little League Baseball Incorporated would require more detailed documentation of the eligibility of its players. Now, 4 months before, the Rolando Paulino Little League team from the Bronx, New York, had its third place finish taken away after pitcher Danny Almonte was found to be too old to play. So, yeah, that's when they said, okay, maybe we got to start checking these birth certificates here to make sure we don't have a 30-year-old playing in the Little League World Series. All right, in 2002, Scott Young of the Dallas Stars played in his 1,000th NHL game. How about that? Shout out to Scott Young. And we got some interesting bites here. In 1981, the great one, the greatest is what I like to call him, Muhammad Ali fought in his last fight ever, folks. The last time he got into a boxing ring, he actually lost his 61st fight to Trevor Burbick. Let's take a listen to this.
Drew Boondini, Brown, Wallace Muhammad, the rest of them over there cheering him. Jimmy Ellis, who Ali beat one time before and now came back. And, of course, everybody here feels, Don, that Ali really won the fight. People are hugging each other. And, of course, it is really a tremendous thing that has happened here because for a long time, everyone that I talked to was hoping that Ali could win the fight. They didn't know that he could win the fight. They were hoping that actually he wouldn't come in here. But then, of course, after everything happened, once he got in here, I think the crowd got behind him. And, of course, Trevor Burbick knew that Muhammad Ali would be the sentimental favorite going into the fight. Burbick is walking around. He's been holding his hands up in the air as though he did win the fight. However, there is a look of gloom in his eyes as though he may have figured that he did lose it by a decision.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a unanimous decision. Judge Alonzo Butler votes it 97-94. Judge Clyde Gray votes 99-94. Judge Jay Etson votes 99-94. Unanimous decision for Trevor Burbick.
Well, there you have it, Trevor Burbick. It's a unanimous decision. Judge Butler, 97-94. Judge Gray, 99-94. And Jay Edson, 99-94. It was a unanimous decision.
How about that? Again, unanimous decision. Muhammad Ali finding his very last fight, the last time he graced the boxing ring. Again, he lost that fight to Trevor Burbick. You can hear the jubilation from Burbick in his camp after that fight. They actually interviewed Muhammad Ali right after, and all of the announcers after the interview was done thanked Ali for all that he had done for the sport of boxing and for sports in general. Muhammad Ali was very soft-spoken during the interview. Again, it's all over YouTube. If you just Google Muhammad Ali and Trevor Burbick, Muhammad Ali, you know, during that interview and during that moment, I mean, you can read a pretty interesting take from many sports analysts around that time that followed the sport of boxing. And there was a lot of controversy because Muhammad Ali's health really started to decline at that point, and they felt as though Ali, okay, you need to hang it up. They wanted him to hang it up before the fight. Many people out there criticizing Ali for fighting in that fight. I just think that Muhammad Ali just fought a little too long. And, you know, you start to see his health just deteriorate year after year after year. And, of course, you know, he's been, you know, really, really been very well survived with Parkinson's disease. But a lot of controversy over that fight in 1981, no. All right, and in 1985, let's end this thing on a pretty funny note here. Now, do you guys remember the Super Bowl Shuffle? The Super Bowl Shuffle, folks, was actually a single, a track, a musical track, produced by the Chicago Bears shuffling crew. How about that? Now, it encompassed everyone that was on that 1985 Bears team. If you remember, back in the 80s, the Bears were pretty good. They were very good, folks. I believe that this year Chicago Bears team, I bet they would like to rewind times back to the 80s to much better times when that Bears team, I mean, they were known for their defense. That 80s Bears defense goes down. It's one of the greatest defenses of all time. But anyway, they had a lot of fun during that time as well. And they released the Super Bowl Shuffle again. It was released on this day back in 1985. Take a listen to this. It's hilarious.
They call me Sweetness, and I like to dance. Running the ball is like Mickey Mouse Man. We had the goal since training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. And we're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy. We didn't come here to look for trouble. We just come here to do the Super Bowl shot.
This is Speedy Willie, and I'm world class. I like running, but I love to get the pass. I practice all day and dance all night. I gotta get ready for the Sunday fight. Now, I'm as smooth as a chocolate swirl. That's a little funky, so watch me, girl. There's no one here that doesn't like me. My Super Bowl Shuffle will set you free.
I'm Samurai Mike. I stop them cold. Part of the defense, big and bold. I've been jamming for quite a while, doing what's right and setting the style. Give me a chance, I'll rock you good. Nobody messing in my neighborhood. I didn't come here looking for trouble. I just came to do the Super Bowl Shuffle.
I'm the pucky QB known as McMahon. When I hit the turf, I've got no plan. I just throw my body all over the field. I can't dance, but I can throw the field. I motivate the cats, I like to tease. I play so cool, I aim to please. That's why you all got here on the double, to catch me doing the Super Bowl Shuffle.
I'm mama's boy, Otis, wanna be kind. The ladies all looking for my body and my mind. I'm slick on the floor, as I can be. But ain't no sign gonna get past me. Some guys are jealous of my style and class. That's why some end up on that. I didn't come here looking for trouble. I'm just getting down to the Super Bowl show.
Oh, man, I'm glad there are no cameras here in the radio studio because, man, I was just jamming, okay? That can never get old. That can never get old, folks. Again, Throwback Thursday moment, a coveted one for me, 1985, the single Super Bowl Shuffle released by the Chicago Bears. Interesting tidbits about that song, Alex. Again, it was a 1985 rap hit recorded by the players. You heard, my favorite verse has to be from Jim McMahon, quarterback at the time for the Bears. That's just hilarious stuff. Now, it instantly became a mainstream phenomenon. The single sold more than a 500,000 copies, reached number 41 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, making the Bears the only American professional team of any sport with a hit single. Super Bowl Shuffle. I'm going to jam to that later on in my car, Alex. Oh, that's great.
Awesome. Yeah, a couple more just to add real quick before we get to the caller. Daniel Alfredson's birthday is today, former Red Wing, so he turns the clock a little bit forward more. Also, we talked about Tony Lippitt, and maybe we'll give a little reminder again. Tony Lippitt coming on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, he'll be on tomorrow.
He's up for Wide Receiver of the Year, and on this day, very own Arizona Cardinals Larry Fitzgerald won the nation's top receiver
award. Yeah, Blitnikoff Award, yeah.
That's right.
Larry Fitzgerald, and he went on to have, he's still having a great NFL career, so yeah.
Yes,
how about that?
And the last thing, as we'll get into our next topic, Tiger Woods was named Player of the Year by his peers on this day.
Yeah, how about that in 2007? And how about Cam Newton winning the Heisman Trophy today as well? But yeah, a lot. This is a busy day in sports.
Busy
my
day.
Goodness. All right, before we hit the break and come back and chat about Tiger and wrap up our show, let's get to a caller online. One, Tom from Lansing is on Current Sports. How you doing, Tom?
Good, man. How you doing?
Oh, I can't complain.
I want to know what your take is on this TCU Baylor not getting into the playoffs.
Well, I tell you what, Tom. This has been a debate that we've had a lot here on the show. And for me, going back to when it was announced, when the Final Four were announced on Sunday, and even before then, I can even go way back before then, I just thought there was no chance that Ohio State was going to make that 4-team playoff, and at least TCU or Baylor was going to be in. Now, for me, I always had a quarrel throughout the entire year that I felt as though Baylor should have been ranked above TCU because they had that head-to-head matchup win. A lot of people out there didn't feel as that because of the whole eye test, and TCU just was the better team, which I do see that angle as well. I thought that team, definitely TCU, I mean, my goodness, they were a juggernaut throughout this entire year. They had those final-minute blunders, though, against Baylor, ended up losing that game. But still, head-to-head matchup should mean something. For me, I just didn't see how Ohio State could lose to Virginia Tech and end up in the playoff, and you snub TCU and Baylor, two teams who have been competing and have had a legitimate argument to be a part of that playoff all year, and leave those two out. I personally didn't like it, though, Tom. I didn't like it.
Oh, I didn't like it neither. And my point was, I mean, you look at the teams like Ohio State, like you said, they lost to Virginia Tech. And then you got, yes, I understand Florida State's undefeated, but the ACC isn't what it used to be. And then you have two Big 12 conference teams in the top eight, and they're the only conference like that, and they both get snubbed. I just didn't like how they did that.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing about this election committee. You just never know what they're thinking, the human element to this side of things. You never know what the committee is looking at, what they're thinking. I'm pretty sure dollar signs are flowing throughout their head as well. The more conferences you have, the more moolah you have. I mean, TV ratings will blow up when you got Urban Meyer taking on Nick Saban. That's all taken into consideration too, but they're not telling us that. That's just my thoughts.
Right, right. And then they're never going to be happy anyway, and I'll let this be my last thought before you get on with your next topic, but they'll never be happy between them doing the computer analyzed thing, they weren't happy, and now with the person analyzed thing, there's these flaws, so they'll never be happy in college football.
I'm telling you, there's always going to be a discrepancy. Hey, Tom, thanks a lot. Good call, my man.
Thank you. Have a good day, man.
All right, you too. Yeah, very good points. All right, well, let's hit the break. Alex, when we come back, let's wrap up the show by talking about Tiger Woods. Will he ever get back to normal? I don't know. And I'll also really quickly run down the NFL, and they're making changes to their conduct policy. Interesting stuff. I totally agree with it. You'll hear it in just a second. Welcome back to Current Sports. We're going to send you out with a little bit of Stevie there. How about that, folks? All right, let's wrap up our show briefly here, Alex, by talking about Tiger Woods. And also, I just want to quickly run down the NFL's changes to its conduct policy as well. And before we do that, really quickly, folks, Current Sports TV comes on tonight. On WKR-TV, I sit down with Rob Smith, the head coach of the East Lansing girls basketball team. Rob is a fantastic guy who has had some amazing success as head coach over there at EL. You do not want to miss that. Again, 10 p.m. on WKR-TV. That's Current Sports TV. Don't miss it. All right, Alex, you talked about Tiger Woods on this day back in 2007 being named Player of the Year. Player of the Year, actually, by a vote of his peers on the PGA Tour. 2007, I tell you what, that's like right on the brink of when the wheels start to fall off for Tiger Woods. Of course, with the whole infidelity issues that he had with his then wife, to the incident where she chased him outside with the golf club as he ran into a tree. And then things just kind of just went down from there. We started to see a different Tiger Woods. He came out and gave this whole public apology. And Tiger Woods, frankly, has not been the same since. We have been debating year in and year out, will Tiger Woods ever get back to that dominance? For me, Alex, golf is such a mental game. You and I know that. I mean, in the summertime, we get to experience that firsthand. It's one of the most difficult sports I have ever played. You mentally have to be there in the game of golf, fully focused and locked in. Tiger Woods, dating back again to 2008, when everything hit the fan for him, mentally, Tiger Woods has not been the same. That eye of the tiger just hasn't been there. And when you lose it, it's one of those things that when you lose it, will you ever get it back? Especially looking at how mental the game of golf is. I'm going to say no again because there's nothing that alludes to yes. He played in the Hero Challenge not too long ago. He was very, very sick. The Hero Challenge, of course, is Tiger's own very tournament. Not many golfers playing. There's about like 30 or so golfers that play in it. Tiger was actually dead last out of the field. Dead last going into the weekend, folks. Well, actually, the second round of the tournament. And I'm sitting there like, okay, it's the same old Tiger. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't think so, man.
Tiger Woods has probably hit more trees than fairways so far. And it's just not looking good, man. And you talk about being on your game consistently. Until he's consistent for one full tournament, I can't say that he's back. Yeah, he'll be on for a day. People were all excited. He shot 69. Woo-wee, yippee-doodle-doo. But at the same time, Al, he's still not consistently shooting these scores.
Right.
I'm not saying he has to go out tournament by tournament and shoot a 69 or 70 each tournament, but just for two or three consecutive days for one tournament, for one weekend of golf, you have to be consistent like that. You have to have your swing down.
And that's the thing about golf. Golf is like one of the few sports where you can't just be good for one day. You know, LeBron can throw up 42 one night and lead the headliners and talk about how great he was. You know what I mean? Peyton Manning one day can throw for four touchdowns on one Sunday night and be talked about left and right. You can do that in golf one day, but you better believe you got to do it the next 3 days as well. You got to do it tomorrow as well. And that's the thing that makes golf so difficult and so tough. Just consistency is big. I don't think Tiger Woods is going to be the same. He's hired a new swing coach. We'll see how that works out. Really briefly here with actually less than 2 minutes left in the show. I want to run down the NFL's conduct policy, and we're going to actually continue this discussion to lead tomorrow's show. But the NFL owners Wednesday unanimously approved a revised personal conduct policy, and Roger Goodell actually held a press conference to give a rundown on exactly what the key changes are. Those include it embraces the use of independent investigations. To that end, the NFL will hire a special counsel for investigations and conduct who will oversee initial discipline. The policy will implement an element of leave with pay during investigations of people charged with violent crimes. And the commissioner, though, will remain a role in the appeals process, but also may appoint a panel of independent experts to participate in deciding the appeal. Now, Goodell said Wednesday that the person hired to fill the special counsel role will be a, quote, highly qualified individual with a criminal justice background, end quote. Now, of course, the NFL has been going through a lot with the Ray Rice situation, to what has happened to Adrian Peterson, to the constant off-the-field issues that it deals with on its players. Interesting stuff. I really like what the NFL is trying to do here. That does it for today's edition of Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and have one fantastic Thursday, and be easy, people.